Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
To Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. We were off last week because, well, what do they like to call it? Technical difficulties. That's what you call it when you don't know what the hell is going on with your computer, so you call it technical difficulties. So, yeah, I think that was pretty much what was going on last week. Anyway, it is Friday night, and where else would you rather be than right here listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio? It's been a busy week. Next week is going to be even busier with the Fair Tax Rally in Jefferson City, but we will talk about that later on. It is also a good Friday evening because our St. Louis Cardinals were victorious in a quick sports note here over the Milwaukee Brewers tonight, 2-0, thanks to a home run by catcher Yadier Molina. Woo! So, anyway, that is a good thing. We've started off the weekend on a good note with a win by our Cardinals, so all is right with the world. We've got a whole lot to talk about tonight, and so we'll try to squish it all into a half an hour. I'd kind of like to start maybe kind of on a little melancholy kind of note here. Conservatism lost a great lady this week in Margaret Thatcher. Lady Thatcher passed away on Monday. From complications due to a stroke. She was 87, and she died in her sleep at the Ritz Hotel in London, where she had been staying. Her health had been rather poor in the last couple of years. You know, Margaret Thatcher was really kind of a polarizing figure. I mean, she of course, was the first female prime minister in Britain, and it's inspirational for women because she got into politics at a time when, especially in Great Britain, there were no women. And she faced a lot of uphill battles, and she faced them head on, and she won. And she almost literally single-handedly pulled Great Britain and the United Kingdom just back from the cliff of socialism. Her predecessor faced a lot of things very similar to Ronald Reagan. She dealt with a predecessor that had almost nationalized every single industry in England, and her unemployment rate was through the roof. Inflation was sky high, and she knew what needed to be done. And her popularity during her first term, the first few months or so of her term as prime minister, she was not very popular. But, you know, sometimes you do what needs to be done. Whether it's unpopular or not, you're not there to be liked. You're there to, well, I guess you're there to be liked a little bit, but ultimately, you're there to do what's right for your country. And if your country is teetering on the brink of collapse, you do what needs to be done to bring it back. And she was a very great lady and very courageous and like I said, an inspiration to a lot of women. And she will be greatly missed. But a lot of her policies and a lot of the things that she did that back then are still very relevant today. And she was a very great lady, and she will be missed. Big story here tonight in Missouri. This came out a couple weeks ago. Radio talk show host Dana Lesh broke this story, actually, that the Missouri Department of Revenue was passing on personal information of Missouri citizens who had applied for concealed carry permits. First of all, that is a huge violation of Missouri law. And this week, they were kind of denying that the whole thing went on. Governor Jay Nixon was getting all hot and bothered that people were asking him about it. But it's come to find out that this, in fact, was true, and that this was going on. Missouri Highway Patrol admitted on Thursday that it released the names of more than 163,000 Missourians who have concealed weapons permits to a federal agent twice in the past 2 years. And, you know, most gun owners, and even people who are not gun owners, but they are fervent Second Amendment supporters, you know, it's a lot of us are feeling that this is just kind of a backdoor attempt by Eric Holder to start a gun registry. And basically what was going on here was that they were taking this information gleaned from people who had applied and received concealed carry permits, and some of this information was going to the Social Security Administration, because the ultimate goal, we believe, was to kind of cross-reference and cross-match the information from the Social Security Administration. Basically, they wanted to find out what kind of medications people are on. If there's anything in this person's background, because, of course, they went through a background check to receive the concealed carry permit. So they wanted to see if there was anything in the background of these people that they could say, well, no, this person really shouldn't own a firearm, and that it could be confiscated possibly in some way. It's just a huge violation of privacy. I would almost maybe argue a huge violation of your Fourth Amendment rights, that your illegal search and seizure. Really, you know, it's scary. It's a scary, frightening thing when you think that this is going on and that your government is doing this, and, you know, nobody knew about it, and at first they tried to lie about it. And right now, what is going to happen, at least what happened this week, is that the Speaker of the Missouri House, Tim Jones, I know has contacted Missouri Attorney General Chris Koster, and he's demanding some sort of investigation into this. Because here's the thing. The head of the Department of Revenue, who is in charge of issuing these concealed carry permits, the head of the Department of Revenue did not come up with this on his own and sign off on it. There had to be higher-ups. There had to be people higher up than him that knew about this, that were in on it, and somebody signed off on it, whether it was Jay Nixon, maybe somebody one step below him. But I think the $64,000 question here, I think you got to ask it, is what did Jay Nixon know and when did he know it? Because I don't think that there's any way that he did not know that this was going on. So it will be interesting to see if we do get an investigation out of this. And the other interesting thing about this, too, is that for anybody that knows anything about Missouri politics, Jay Nixon spent a number of years as the Missouri Attorney General himself and went on to become governor. But he is now in his second term as governor, and he is forbidden by term limits to run again, of course. But you know, Jay's been the governor. He's been there, done that. And so now he has, rumor is that he has some presidential perspirations, possibly senatorial, you know, who knows. But, you know, he's not going away anytime soon. And so he has some other plans that he would like to see come to fruition here. And the current Attorney General, Chris Coster, who's also a Democrat, he also has some bigger political aspirations of his own. And it'll be really interesting to see whether or not that he is going to, in all of this, is he going to have the back of his Democratic governor, or because of those aspirations, is he going to say, hey, you know what, I got things to do too. You're on your own, Jay. Nice knowing you. And he's going to do what he's got to do to get ahead. And if that means that Republicans in both the Senate and the House, which they have a supermajority in both houses, you know, is he going to cave to the demands of Republicans who are going to demand an investigation on this? And as well, they should. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that here. And another interesting story here. I think everybody has heard by now about this heinous, you know, I don't even know that there's words for it. It boggles the mind. This Philadelphia abortion clinic, this doctor who was running Dr. Kermit Gosnell. Oh my gosh, it's just, you know, regardless of what your feelings on abortion are, this transcends it. And it's just so heinous, the things that were going on in this clinic. He was as disgusting as it sounds, and it's almost hard to get out of my mouth. He was cutting off the feet of these babies after they were born, and after he had murdered them, which basically is what happens when once you've been born and someone kills you, that's murder. He was cutting off the feet of these babies and kind of keeping them as souvenirs. He would snip the spinal cord at the baby's neck, and really what that is an internal beheading. It's not a literal beheading, but it is a beheading, because once you've snipped that spinal cord and severed the head from the rest of the body, that's a beheading. And it's just, I think a lot of things here are just too gruesome to talk about in good company, and too gruesome to mention. But the interesting thing about this is that the media is not covering this at all. And we know that most of the media, newsflash, no pun intended, we know that most of the media is extremely liberal and way, way to the left. And that, so because of this, they are all very pro-life or pro-choice. And so they're not going to cover a doctor who is literally, he's committing murder. You know, again, like I said, regardless of what your feelings are on abortion, this is murder, plain and simple. And so the media is not covering it because they don't want to get near it. They don't want to, because it's not going to make them look good, and it's not going to make their position on this issue look good if they are seen as supporting this doctor. And, you know, you really have to use the term in this case. You have to use the term doctor pretty loosely. But I have another theory about why the media is not covering this. During the trial, they have had reserved seating for the media in the back of the courtroom, and interestingly enough, it has remained empty. I'm going to take a break here, and I will tell you what my alternative theory is on why the media is not covering this story. It's not just because they're all pro-choice and that they don't want to cover the trial of an abortion doctor. So I'm going to take a break, and we will be right back. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. Don't go anywhere, because I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
And we're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thank God it's Friday. Glad everybody is here tonight. And we've been talking about this ongoing trial in Philadelphia of the doctor that has been running this abortion clinic. And there's just no words really to describe what's been going on in this clinic. Murder, I guess, basically, is the operative word for what's going on. But the thing is that the media really has just kind of, there's a blackout on this, and they've refused to cover this. And most of the media, being liberal, are pro-choice, and so they don't want to perceive someone who is providing a service that they are all for. They don't want that person being seen in a bad light, regardless of whether he is snipping the spinal cords of live babies or not. But I have another theory on this, and I think that not only is the mainstream media, we all know they're liberal, that's a given. And not only are they liberal, but they're all, for the most part, pro-choice. But because of all those things, they're also very guilty white liberals. And, you know, we've been witnessing for the past how many years now that they have covered the butt of President Obama on a daily basis. And I think part of the reason that this story is not being covered is, well, for the simple fact, and it's going to sound funny at first, but when you think about it, I think for the simple fact that Dr. Gosnell is black. And he's providing a service that they are all for, but he's also performing some very, very hideous other things going on here, too, in this clinic. And for as many years as the liberal media, and like I said, we all know that they have guilty white liberal syndrome, and they've been covering the butt of Barack Obama for 5 years now, and I think it just kind of falls in line. It's the same theory. Cover the black president, cover the black abortion doctor. I think it's that simple. And maybe it sounds silly and convoluted, but I think there's something to it. Even if he were white, I don't think that it might have gotten a little bit more coverage than it has. But when you're a guilty white liberal, you will go out of your way, you know, to prove that some of your best friends are black, even if they happen to be abortion doctors who are saving baby feet as souvenirs, which kind of brings me to something else that was kind of interesting this week. Our old buddies at MSNBC, gosh, they are always good for, you know, where else would we get sound bites if not for the good folk at MSNBC? They are We are never want for material from them. They are always a vast fill in the blank. just a wealth of material for those of us who are conservative and do things like conservative radio. But this week, one of the MSNBC hosts, Melissa Harris Perry, well, for those of you out there who are parents and who have children and have birthed those children and been up at 2 o'clock in the morning feeding those children and taking those kids to school and taking those kids to soccer practice and taking those kids where they need to go and feeding them and clothing them and housing them and doing the countless things that you do in your life as parents, well, they're not really your kids. Take a listen.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
So there you go. You know, they're not really your kids, even though for all the moms out there, you've been through the morning sickness and the labor and the swollen feet and the cravings of ice cream and Doritos at 3 in the morning, but they're not really your kids, just so you know that. And, you know, here's the thing with Melissa Harris Perry. She has a history. She is a liberation theologist. Gee, where have we heard that before? Oh, I know. Barack Obama was a liberation theologist, wasn't he, before he threw his old buddy Jeremiah Wright under the bus because Reverend Jeremiah was going to make him look bad. So, you know, she comes by this notion, she comes by this philosophy, honestly, because I don't know a lot about liberation theology, but what I do know is that they are big believers in collective salvation. And kind of what that means is that you're not just responsible for yourself, but you're responsible for the whole village. You're responsible for the whole community, because if the whole community is not saved, then you are not saved. And so that's where her notion of your kids are not yours, but they're everybody's kids, that's basically kind of where it comes from. And it's something that is kind of related to that. We found out this week, this comes from the Chicago Tribune. Speaking of Reverend Jeremiah's daughter, Jerry Wright, has been indicted for, the daughter of the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, the controversial former pastor to President Barack Obama, was indicted today, this is from yesterday, April the 11th, in an expanding federal probe of a state grant tied to a former suburban police chief. So basically what she did here is, says Jerry Wright of Hazelcrest is accused of helping former Country Club Hills police chief Regina Evans convert fake paychecks from Evans' nonprofit to Evans' personal use, allegedly hiding money that was supposed to be used to train minority and female workers in the building trade. Federal prosecutors in the Illinois Central District say Jerry Wright received about $28,000 in grant-tied paychecks in 2009, but $20,000 of that was deposited back into accounts controlled by Evans. Prosecutors also say Wright then lied to officers and a grand jury. Ooh, Jerry. Apparently, well, you know, when her old man was not talking about goddamn America, and when he was not talking about Get Whitey, if he did do any sort of thou shalt not steal, that thou shalt not money launder, thou shalt not write fake checks, Maybe she was like Barack Obama, and she didn't hear it. She just didn't listen. You know, even though she probably sat in her father's church for way many more years than the 20 years that Barack Obama did, you know, let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she really didn't hear it. Who knows? Excuse me. So there's that. So let's see. There is no word on when there will be a trial or anything legally will go on here, but she has been indicted. Excuse me again. She has been indicted, and that's a lot of money. So we'll see where that goes from here. The other thing that I wanted to talk about tonight is coming up this Monday, there is a national gathering in Washington. There is the 10,000 Taxpayer March that will be held on Monday in Washington. But for those of you who can't be in Washington, there is the Fair Tax Rally in Jefferson City, Missouri, this Monday, April 15th. Excuse me, I'm getting attacked. Anyway, the Fair Tax for Missouri people are putting on a taxpayer rally. It will be held at the Capitol on Monday, April 15th from noon to 9 p.m. There is going to be loads of speakers. There is going to be some entertainment. There is going to be there's going to be tables. There's going to be booths. There's going to be lots of information. For those of you who want to know more about the fair tax and what it involves, it's going to be a great day. I think it's going to be very informative. The weather's supposed to be really good. Yours truly will be speaking, I believe, not sure what time yet. I will get that up on the Facebook page. In the Capitol Rotunda sometime on Monday afternoon. This runs from noon till 9 p.m. that day. It's going to be a long day, but it's going to be fun. And I think it's going to be really exciting. It's time that the fair tax, what it is and what it does, that we really need to get out more to the public what it is and what it does, because it is such a much better alternative than to the convoluted system that we have right now. But one of the reasons that it is going to be so long is that we not only want people to be able to come during the day, maybe if you have a day off work, or maybe you are a seasoned citizen and you're retired and you want to come in the middle of the day, great. We love everybody to be there. We want everybody to be there, but we also want to get the taxpayers. And the taxpayers are those people that are working from 9 to 5 and they can't get there till after 5 o'clock. So we want to see them there too. We want to try to be able to have some speakers and information for those people that can't make it there until after 5 o'clock. And so there's going to be that. We're going to have two stages. There's going to be one on the south steps of the Capitol. And then, again, like I said, there will be one inside in the rotunda of the Capitol. And, again, there's going to be some great speakers. A lot of interesting people are going to be there. A lot of groups are going to be there. And it's just going to be a really fun day. So I hope that anybody that can make it, please do. If you want more information, go to fairtax.org. I'm about done here for the evening, and I'm really glad everybody could make it tonight. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/BeckyNoble. I am also on Twitter at Patriot Witch. And you can also, of course, in the beginning, there was a Conservative Cauldron blog. You can also please go to Conservative Cauldron blog and find all the latest there. And you can also go to my page at examiner.com. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. I will see you next week, and I'm sure we will have plenty more to talk about. I will have all the latest on the fair tax rally and all of the goings on with the Department of Revenue and the personal information from the concealed carry applicants, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty more news on that. So, again, everybody, thanks for listening. I am your host, Becky Noble. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. See you later.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
truth.